Okay, I got mine.
Do we have a leader tonight?
I can. Matthew 24? Yeah.
Matthew 13, verse 24.
Oh, 13. Oh, okay. Let me focus a little bit.
Thank you,
Lord. Okay, it says 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." The parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Okay.
Hold on. Okay. We're going to go from the parable of the weeds. Then we're going to jump over to verse 37. No, verse 36. And start there.
Okay.
Am I the only one who can't hear?
Oh, you can't hear? What?
Basically, it just happened, though. Maybe it's my phone.
Oh.
I'm going to call back in.
Are you going to? You want me to wait, you guys, or just keep going?
No, we don't have to wait.
Wait for her to call back in?
Okay. Yes.
Any better?
I heard you before. Did anybody see any difference?
I can hear. I mean, I'm just asking. I think Lisa just called back in, so I'm asking, is it any better?
Oh,
no,
I thought it was, okay. Is it better?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to start at 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples.
Oops. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. An enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The hidden treasure, the kingdom of heaven.
No,
is like, okay.
Okay. So we're talking about the parable of the weeds. And we're talking about Jesus is talking in parables. And what again are parables? Parables are stories that Jesus tells, and he uses them almost metaphorically in a way that people can relate to the story. But they were also hidden wisdom at the time for many that heard the parables. That's why he had to come back and explain it to his disciples. So he talks about the first, he gives the parable of the wheat that the kingdom of heaven is like, and he talks about that you have wheat growing up, and you also have weed growing next to the wheat. What does that look like in the world?
When we have relationships, or, you know, we're just involved with people who aren't serving God.
Okay, Lisa says that it can look like a relationship where one person saved, one person is not serving God. What else can weed in the field look like?
I often wondered if the weeds look similar to the wheat, but it sounds like it didn't, because they said you want us to pull it up. So there is a difference, but I'm not sure.
Weeds and wheat look almost identical.
That's what I was wondering if they did. I wasn't. Oh, okay. Then it's people in the church that are people. I was going to say then I thought that. I wasn't for sure. I was thinking it's people in the church that are there, and they're maybe not taking, allowing the Holy Spirit to take them to a more peaceful place or a sanctified. I don't know. I was thinking that. I'm not sure what that means.
You're getting there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Stacey. I think that's exactly how I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it's like two people that are in church that seem like they are filled with the Spirit of God and holiness and right, but they're really not. They're just there. They're not a part of God's kingdom. They're there to bring in destruction and corruption and all kinds of havoc on the people of God. But they're right alongside of them, and you really couldn't tell the difference because of maybe what they're doing and how they're acting. But they really are not there for the same purpose of serving God.
That is absolutely correct. But I want to focus also on when Jesus explained it, the weeds were sown by the devil.
The devil.
Okay. The weeds are sown by the devil. So here you have God planting seeds, let's say in the church, because we're going to come back to something else in a minute. So you have God planting seeds in the church, and everything is growing and it looks good, but then the adversary, he sneaks in and he plants seeds right alongside the wheat.
Right.
And if you ever have seen wheat, it looks so much like a weed when it's growing that you cannot possibly tell them apart. So what I'm getting at here is sometimes the adversary can be so deceptive that he can look just like, not just an angel of light, but he can look like, say, for example, a Christian. But he's really not a Christian at all. He's a weed, not wheat. But what is he saying here? He's saying that the weeds and the wheat came up together. So the problem with that is we can't tell the difference. He says later, when he's explaining it, that the angels have to come and separate the weed from the wheat. So what does that say to us? It reminds us that we are not really capable always of identifying when there's an enemy, for example, in the camp.
Wow.
When somebody is sitting right next to in church, looks like a Christian, quacks like a Christian, looks like wheat, but may not be wheat at all. And then they start sowing their own seeds, because as wheat comes up, it drops seeds. And as weeds come up, they drop seeds. So now you've got a competition going on where wheat has been sown for occupancy. So you've got, let's say it looks like a church. So we've got a church or we've got a ministry. And this ministry, we've sown all the right seeds. We've got the seeds growing, the wheat's coming up, and all of a sudden the weeds start coming up with it. What is it that we should do if we realize that within the church, which is what he's talking about, the kingdom of God, within the church, weeds started coming up with the wheat? What do we do about that? How would you counteract a problem with weeds coming up when you can't tell a weed from wheat?
Let it grow like they did, huh? That's like telling us that's a judgment. Is it judgment or is it just allowing it to be there? Because would we be casting judgment if we tried to do it? I'm not sure. This always, I don't. Because he let it grow.
You're way down the right track, Stacy. You're way down the right track. Here in this parable, he said that he had to wait till judgment to separate the weed from the wheat. What does that tell us? It tells us we're not capable of doing it. And you know what else it tells us? If we try to separate the weed from the wheat, oops, sometimes we'll be pulling up wheat when we thought it was a weed, or weed when we thought it was wheat.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
One and the same, because you can't tell the difference. If you put, you have a Christian who, a person you believe is truly a Christian, and you have a person who you believe is not a Christian, but the person you thought that was a Christian is really not a Christian, but the person you thought that wasn't a Christian is a Christian. So you really can't differentiate by what you think you see. You will only be able to know that by the fruit that each seed bears, and that's by what they do. So therefore, God says you can't do it, and we are incapable of doing it. Therefore, we need angels to come and separate that, because they know what is by the power of God, what is of the seed of God, and what is the seed of Satan.
Absolutely. What we're also seeing here is that if you go, for example, let me give you an example of what it looks like. You're in church, and you find out that Sister Swedge, who sings in the choir, is stepping out on her husband. And you say, aha, that's adultery. So she can't be a Christian because she's committing adultery. And then you begin to, you know, take practices and, you know, get people together to try to get her uprooted out of the church because you found out she's living in sin or in doing something sinful. But what if she really was a Christian? She just wasn't there yet. Do you know what I mean by wasn't there yet? When we come into a relationship with Christ, we are not made perfect in that day. We're given a new heart, and that new heart works through the flesh. And the flesh holds on to this, and then it holds on to that, and, you know, tug of war. It doesn't want to let go of this, it doesn't want to let go of that. And we, the person who's newly saved, we know that something different has happened in us, but there's still things we may not have gotten corrected yet. Is anyone on this call that has been born again and saved, do they, have you had the experience that the day you were saved, you were made perfect?
No.
No.
Well, then, if you can remember that, that sometimes it could still be wheat.
Right.
That's behaving like a weed.
Right. Right.
But it could still be wheat. In other words, you could go viciously after a child of God.
Right.
The wheat is representing God's children here on earth, his harvest, those that he's going to redeem. And I got to tell you, some of us will not even be redeemed until Judgment Day. Let's take Jeffrey Dahmer, for example. He wasn't redeemed until Judgment Day for him. The day before he closed his eyes on this side of the grass, he was redeemed. But if somebody was going after him and, you know, trying to, you know, insist that he be, you know, whatever, you don't know who you're going after. That actually was somebody that God had elected. He was a very sick man. He was a very possessed man. But in the end, he found grace and he was saved. So it turns out he was actually wheat. He wasn't a weed. I want you to understand this. He wasn't a weed that was transformed into wheat. He was wheat all along.
Right.
But he looked an awful lot like a weed. How many of us look a lot like a weed? Because our walk is so ragged.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. So if somebody looked at you a month ago, or 5 minutes ago, or 5 years ago, they might have looked and said, well, you're a weed. You're not even a Christian. I don't even believe that you're really even called by God in any way. I don't think you're a child of God. I think you're a weed. But we could be very seriously wrong, because whoever, what does he say in Romans? He says, whom he did foreknow, he also did, what's the word?
Predestinate.
To be, here it comes, conformed to the image of his son.
Image of his son.
That he might be the firstborn, for he would be the firstborn among many brethren.
My
and
brother.
Then he says, for whom he did predestinate,
them he also called.
Whom he called, them he also justified. So it means that seed, the whole time, had already been justified. That's the passage that goes on to say, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Be against us.
So what am I getting at? I'm getting on that, getting at the weed is a weed, and wheat was wheat. But it can look the same so closely that we go back to what I've talked about many times about judging one another.
Right.
How careful we have to be in that, because we can't even tell what we're looking at. And we look so much alike that he says the angels in heaven have to come and separate it in the end. They have to sift through it. And with their supernatural abilities, they'll sift through who was really planted wheat and who was planted by the evil one and was really just the seed of darkness. What do weeds do?
Choke out.
Richard said choke out. So what does that look
like? Like a young, I've known people over the years who became Christian, you know, young Christians, but get into a church and they get judged for what they're still doing or not, and then they become sort of disillusioned and fed up with Christians or Christianity because of their experience, and they get choked out, like you said, Richard. It's like they're pushed out, and then it you know, because of the way the people treat them.
Stacy shared something about experiences she's had in the church that remind me of that. Choked right on out of the place that she could have been planted. And it's the evil one that plants these weeds that try to choke out the wheat.
You know what? I have an example from our childhood. My brother, remember we used to go to prayer garden, and they, and I don't know if you knew this back then, but they told your mother that he couldn't come because he didn't wear his shirt a certain way or something, or he wore the same clothes or something, and he wasn't dressed right. My brother stopped going. He stopped, and that wasn't the only reason, but that was a part of it because he wasn't accepted anymore. And
exactly.
I think that, you know, and he was, preteen?
It's definitely an example. an example of what we can look like, and we can be guilty of choking out the seed, even ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the need that we see that we have, the enemy has planted weeds in our camp, and they look so much like the wheat. What should we do about that? We've determined what we shouldn't do. We shouldn't judge it. We shouldn't try to judge a person right on out the door. We did talk about looking, you know, watching their fruit. But what should we be doing about the fact that we know that there's weeds planted among the wheat? What should we be doing about it?
Hmm.
You know they're there. You know they choke out other Christians. What should we be doing?
I believe we should always be prayerful about our own hearts and what we're doing and how we're living. And if we should see something that we don't believe that is right, according to the Word of God, not by what we think or what we believe, but what God's Word says, is that we should talk to our brother or sister, and we think that's a brother or sister, with love of the Word of God. Other than that, there's not much we can do but pray for that individual and hope that they would come to know Christ.
Now, I'm going to take that answer and I'm going to spread it out on a wider scale. I think that as Christians, since we are being made aware of it, since the Lord himself took time out to speak this parable, then explain this parable, it tells us that we should be ever mindful of this as a situation. So what should we be asking for? Discernment. We should be asking for wisdom. We should be asking that the Lord please help protect your flock from wolves. Is there a big difference between wolves and weeds?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
One's planted by, you know, one in this parable is given the casing of a weed, but in another parable or in another instance,
like
he's talking about it's a wolf. In another instance, he's talking about it's a lion. If you know that this is among us, then let's be always prayerful and mindful that the Lord bind up the works that they would do among us. And reveal, you know, it's because if they're revealed, then you know to be mindful, that's a weed. Have you ever, I don't know, because most of you haven't been on the road so long or been in churches so much, but have you ever been in a church where you could tell a person is just full of the devil week after week after week? I mean full of the devil. They look like a devil. Their face is all twisted up like a devil. They sow seeds of disruption. They're mean. They're unkind. Woe unto the visitor that ends up sitting next to them.
Yeah.
But all we really, the only, and I'm saying all we, the only, we have the power of prayer on our side. Now we're going to go to the parable of the mustard seed, which we skipped over, and take it from verse 31.
Okay. That's still okay. Chapter 13?
Yes.
My books are all
over. Okay, hold on. Is that all closed? Okay. 13:31, it says,
the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed,
which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches.
Stop there. Now, how does that parable relate to the weeds? He told the parable immediately after he finished talking about the weeds, and then he went right into the mustard seed. How does that relate? I skipped over to the explanation of the weeds because it'll make it easier for you to understand the mustard seed. How does that relate?
Oh, planting a mustard seed. It's a plant. I don't know. Because they always do the mustard seed with faith. Does it mean?
Sometimes he's talking about the mustard seed, and he says if you have the faith of a mustard seed, all he's referring to then is how small a mustard seed is. And that's not a parable. That's actually a fact.
Oh, okay.
But this is a parable. This is a story. I want you to see, he says that he plants this seed, and even though the seed is super tiny, it grows very, very quickly. What happens with the church? After Jesus rose from the dead, what happened with the church?
It grew and expanded quickly all over the world.
It expanded all over the world. And it grew so quickly that it was uncontainable. It was all the way, I was head buried over a couple of days, and the church moved so rapidly because Rome had recently conquered so many nations. And what it did, think of Rome as America, which is not a big stretch. That's what you want to talk about.
Thank you.
Rome was like America in a lot of ways. Now, think of America, how we have roads that lead from state to state. Everything is connected because it is all America, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So now look at Rome. Rome is conquering the world, and it's all in Africa. It's in North Africa. It's all the way to Iran, which is Babylon. It's in Syria. It's all the way to India. So Rome has done all this conquering, and consequently, since this is all our territory now, what did Rome do? It built roads. Roads from connecting all of the new Roman provinces. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the eunuch that was on his road, on his way to Africa? The eunuch in Acts, who Philip met on the roadside and led him to Christ and claimed the scripture and baptized his entire company. Those roads were there because Rome built those roads. And it's because even parts of Africa then, Rome was in control of, had set it up. Just like here in America, if you're part of America, and the territories in America are all connected by roads. So was Rome. Now look at the timing of what the Lord had done. He took, and here Rome seems to be conquering the world, and they're heathens, and you know the Greeks are fighting with them. Everybody, nobody wants to be under Rome, but nobody can defeat Rome. And look what's happening. I want you to see this. God is allowing it. God is allowing Rome to dominate the world. But in Rome's domination of the world, Rome was cutting pathways all over the world. And what were those roads used for?
Christians to travel all over the world.
Christians to carry the gospel. Christians freely carried the gospel all the way from Jerusalem to India. From India to Babylon, from Babylon to Egypt, from Egypt to Ethiopia. All over the world, Christianity was being spread. And Rome was okay with it. They really didn't care at first because they didn't realize the magnitude of how fast it was growing. Nor did they initially consider it a threat to their kingdom. An interesting sidebar is, remember Constantine, the one behind changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday? Mm-hmm. Constantine was so impressed by the apostles. There's a cathedral in Europe that is over the supposed remains of some of the apostles, and Constantine put his grave site, he wanted to be buried in the center, I want you to know this, the center of the apostles as if he had been their leader, which tells you that Constantine was determined to try to take the spot of God, because it was more important for him to be buried as the center of the apostles as the church was growing, more important to him to be buried there than even among the dignitaries of the princes and kings of, you know, of that period. Just sidebar about the mindset of Constantine, which so many churches hail to this day.
Yeah.
Because, and it's really interesting because if you really search this guy out, he's not what you think he is. And who was he to think he could change the Sabbath to Sunday? Well, just, and I know I'm a little off track here, but on that note, that is how the Pope ended up being considered God. Because he was able to change the commandments of God. And this was done through Constantine. But anyway, back to this parable. So how does this relate? So the kingdom of God spread rapidly all throughout nations of the world, from Algeria to Turkey. All these nations that we look at today and we say, oh, what a bunch of heathens or this or that. The Jewish people traveled into all of those nations and were scattering among them, just bringing the gospel. This isn't when they were being scattered beyond their choice. This is... Are you guys still on the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Okay. There was a call coming in, and I thought it might have disconnected. So here we are. They're traveling all over the world, these... roads have been built, and the roads are actually facilitating Christians. I'm going to challenge you that even what's going on right now is going to facilitate God's people. Even though we're going to go through... Can I hit decline?
Yeah, it'll go through. It's going. Keep going.
Even though God's people are going to go through a lot, we will be sustained through it. And some of what they're putting in place will actually help. Now we're back to the parable. We're back to the tree. We're back to a tiny mustard seed that grows into a tree. Number one, mustard seeds usually grew into bushes, not trees. It is said that in certain parts of the Middle East, you could perhaps say that it was a tree. But for the most part, mustard seeds grow into bushes, not trees. So that means that for it to grow to the size of a tree is already supernatural. That's what happened with the church. It grew at a supernatural pace. Now what happens? If the mustard seed grows into a tree, so it's widespread, it's fast growing, How is it getting ready to relate to the parable of the weeds? And the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. When you first read that, you say, oh, wow, that means the church is going to offer maybe, you know, some kind of comfort or housing for birds. Somehow it's going to be some kind of good thing because, but really, if you take a closer look at this, birds that came and perched in its branches was outsiders that came into the tree and made its home there, took advantage of what it was offering, and made its home there. Are you getting a different picture now? Here we have, in one parable, we're talking about weeds planted by the evil one that grow up right next to the wheat. You can't tell the difference. And now, right after, he gives the parable of the mustard seed, small little tiny seed, the beginning of the church, very, very small, almost undetectable, blows up into a huge tree, and birds are coming and making their house in the house. What does that look like? Could that be possibly when you see churches popping up all over that are claiming that they're Christian churches and that they all believe in God and we're all part of this movement that happened 2,000 years ago, and yet what they're preaching is Antichrist? Yet they want to be considered part of the church. What about Jehovah's Witnesses? They look like the church. They taught principles of God. They taught principles of the church. But you find their literature in the occult section of any Christian bookstore. And yet they want to be considered part of this huge mustard tree that just rapidly grew and spread all over the world. This mustard tree that was huge, but then others came and planted their houses. That's what a bird's nest is. Planted their houses within the house.
Wow.
So you're seeing something completely different. What he's telling you is, yes, the church grew, but I'm telling you, be careful. Because as the church was growing and growing quickly, the adversary was dropping seeds too. So I'm urging you, people of God, stay in his word. Keep learning all you can about his word, because that's a very strong warning. It's a warning that I'm telling you, yes, my church grew, but it was not going to grow without blemish. How many people decide, I want to be a preacher, just because they think there's a lot of money in it?
Mm-hmm.
So what do? They join the church. Does that make sense? So they join the church, they become part of the church, they mingle with those in the church, and then what do? They go open their own church, and they want to be considered all part of what's in the mustard tree, mustard seeds. But instead, they're not mustard seeds at all. They're a bird that made its house in the tree. It's not the tree, but that's what the infiltration of the church looks like. So let's not be overly surprised when you find out the church is not teaching what it should be teaching. And it seems, if we were to look today, that the weeds are taking over the church in a lot of churches. It seems like the power of the wheat is gone because it's being choked out by the weeds. But there is so much more, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So don't become discouraged. Just understand that that is, you know, infiltration, that's what it looks like. The Lord said that he built the church, and then he was the rock. He is the foundation of the church. But as the church grew and spread, well, all kinds of stuff came in. Then it's not just comfort for mustard seeds to grow. It's a place where birds got birds, having birds, and planting their houses in there, and it becomes far more than that which what it was intended to be. Hence the wheat. I will close on this. One of the things that differentiates wheat from weeds. Weeds will continue to grow. Wheat will eventually bow. The head of the wheat will actually bow or bow, whereas weeds never bow.
Okay.
It's kind of an interesting picture that we get when he compares the two. One of them, once mature, is humble. The other, once mature, is still just standing there. So be careful. Be prayerful. Don't be dismayed or surprised when you go from church to another church to another church and you find that there seems to be more chaos and destruction and things out of order and very little Christ, very little Holy Spirit, very little of his work being done. Don't be so surprised, because he just told you this is what it was going to look like, and this is before he was resurrected. He was warning the disciples, as fast as you plant a church, you'll come back to it and find infiltration. And what happened? Paul was planting churches left and right. He'd come back and find that they're arguing, there's maliciousness going on. You got people that were, you know, ex-sorcerers that are now trying to be in power, and they're telling people something a little bit slightly different than what Paul had preached. And Paul said, look, this is not what I preached. And then worked at trying to get the church back on track. Well, that's what we're doing right now. And I think that different ones on this call are probably going to be called to ministry. And that will be what you're doing. You're going to be doing the same thing Paul did, the apostles did. You're going to be going from and trying to help people get back on track that have lost their way. How many people accepted the word of God as a child, but by the time they got in college, it was all challenged?
Yeah.
Then they come out and they go back to the church, and it sounds like a bunch of cuckoo for Cocoa Pops, so they never go back again?
True. Yeah.
Who is going to come alongside that person and help straighten them out? Wait a minute, weren't you a Christian? Yeah, I was, but that's just because I was raised in the church, and I'm really not into that anymore. Why? What happened? Well, it really wasn't relevant. I've had conversations with people, young people, right out of college. And they turned right around and said, oh, it's not relevant because I don't really see. I went to church all my life, and I never really saw the stuff they talk about in the Bible. I never saw miracles, signs, and wonders. I never saw this Holy Spirit they talk about. I never saw people's lives change. I never saw any of it. Why is that? That should not be. And it's because the church has been so infiltrated with so much different thinking. Part of that thinking is, oh, well, the day of miracle signs and wonders is over. I've heard people preaching that on the radio for years. And it's not true. It is not true. Churches that have never really experienced the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they just think, oh, well, good teaching, pat on the back, clap on the wrist, go home. But there's no power to change lives, so the lives just go down till they're, you know, in the gutter. And then the church falls apart, or might as well have, for the condition the people in the church are in. Why is it that the people in the churches are not in any better condition than the people of the world? It's because the power of the Holy Spirit is not working in churches like it ought to. But rather than complain about other churches, since we're the church, each one of us can make that difference, correct?
That's right.
Wherever God takes you, wherever you are, be that. Let the Holy Spirit enter you and work through you. Where people can say, well, you know, I didn't really believe in church, but I can certainly see something different about you. Isn't that what we would all want to hear? That's what I'd want to hear. So let's ask the Lord to please, please empower us to be more of the change necessary. More of the true church that he's coming back for, because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. I'm not making this up. These are the words coming from the holy word of God. He's coming for a people, a church without spot or wrinkle. Is he going to find that that's maybe the church down the street from, you know, I don't know. Is he going to find that it's a particular denomination? Do you think that it's a particular denomination that has it right?
No.
No.
So what church is he going to, where is he going to find a church without a spot or wrinkle?
Which one?
Where is he going to find it?
About
this one. Those that do the will of the Father.
The scattered remnant.
Mm.
The scattered remnant. And where is the scattered remnant? Some of them are sitting in churches, you know, trying to make things better. Some of them are in pulpits just preaching away to deafened ears. Some of them are in convalescent homes ministering to the sick, the elderly, the forgotten. They're all over the place. God's people are all over the place. Sincere followers of Christ are all over the place. But I doubt very seriously that the church he's coming for, he's going to find in one single place. He's going to resurrect a people that he finds his spirit abiding in. That's how he's going to recognize you. He's going to recognize you by the seal. He says there's a seal of the Holy Spirit on you. That's what's going to resurrect you. That's what's going to cause you to lift up off this earth and ascend into heaven when the rapture takes place, should you be here. So be that seal and wear that seal and don't hide that seal. Be the light of the world. And as times get on and it gets harder and you become more challenged as to whether or not you want to even admit you're a Christian, because the word Christian's getting to have a very bad reflection on it. You don't even want to say it out loud anymore. But be a reflection of Christ. Continue to be a reflection of Christ. Spread the good news wherever you can. Any questions?
No.
Mm-hmm. Any praises? Praise reports?
Oh.
Do you know why I asked for praise reports? Because it encourages one another. We're called to encourage one another with praise and thanksgiving, and we're called to, and when you have a testimony, it encourages somebody else that if it can be done for them, it can be done for me. Sometimes it's just the person's been praying for you and they know their prayers have been answered. So that's
well,
why
I have one.
Yep.
Today, and it's a praise report for me because I need to do it. My boss, the principal, assistant principal, told me that she want to talk to me about something, and when she talked to me about it, like I was worried about it at first, and then I just knew that God, no matter what, I'm learning how to have confidence in God that he's in me, not confidence in myself. I don't really like it, but I'm accepting that my confidence comes because God lives in me, not in anything I can do. So when she sent me, came in, it was a 10-minute meeting, not even 10 minutes, she had me sign something that said I needed help because I'm working with a grade level that I hadn't, so I had to sign something. But usually I fight against that, and I just accepted, not in a, that any way that is bad, but just let, knowing that God is, either whatever way it went or way it goes, that God, even if we were, you were teaching, God's letting me know it's going to be a place of strength, a place of, he'll make it look different than what it is. Like it's a write-up but also support. You see what I mean? It was a write-up but also giving support because I've never done eighth grade. So it was a, you let me know it's a good thing, even though it might, all the time before, I would always fight and start saying I'm not signing anything. I just thank God for that. I'm confident that things that come on my path, not to say the devil doesn't work and I don't need to fight some things, but this keeps happening and I know that it's going to work together for my good. I don't, that it's going to work for God, whatever he's doing. I don't know, just faith, faith in God, trust, confidence in God. Because I hated it, you guys. I hated having that my confidence always had to come from be that God is living in me. I wanted to have confidence in myself. But I do have confidence that God is living in me. You know how people seem like they're so confident?
Mm-hmm.
With,
exactly.
You guys saying without? Okay.
And so, to be used by the Lord, it's very important that we end up recognizing that any good thing coming from us, he's doing.
That's what I mean right there. And you want to have confidence that it's you, but it's not you.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And when you get to that point, you end up finding peace.
Well,
that's what follows is peace. When you realize it's not up to you to be so good or so bad or so good at this or so great at that. It's just God will take it from here. And whatever perception people have of you, whatever. Let God be, give God the glory, and whatever he's teaching you along the way, be glad he's teaching you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a wonderful thing. Anybody else?
I've just had a lot of peace today. And even though I don't, you know what's going on with my kids, I trust him. And I just have peace about it. So.
Oh, your kids don't live in the United States?
No, they do. They don't. One lives with me, but I don't really see them. So, but they both struggle with meth addiction. So,
and I wanted to pray for my son
too.
He asked me for money and said he was gonna send me account information on my text. But I know to let it go too. So we'll just. I know maybe it's just to trust, not even to pray about it sometimes, right? Because sometimes if you're praying, it makes you think about it more. Is that a bad thing?
Well, I think
praying
pray
about
it,
makes
you, but you
into not praying.
What is it?
Don't be deceived or intimidated into not praying.
Take all
things. How is that? How can you get intimidated into not praying? Because you think you're worrying, you mean?
Exactly. Well, what you just was saying, well, maybe I won't pray about it because it makes me think about it more. Where do you think a thought like that comes from?
Okay.
Yeah.
I hurt your
finger.
I see.
So I dare you to pray because you'll only get more upset. So don't pray. Who's telling you that?
Enemy.
Oh,
the only
thing
is enemy.
Yeah, right.
When he brings it up and you feel that trepidation within you, thank the Lord for his faithfulness to you and what he will do for your children. Thank him as he, what enemy is trying to get you, confuse the enemy with praise.
Right.
Okay.
And what I've been getting, Stacy, is think on positive things for your kids because I think of such negative stuff all the time. And that's what the enemy wants us to do too. So to pray him with an expectant hope, pray for them with an expectant hope, but then leave it. And then if I think about, think positive things.
And praise the Lord for what he's doing. Yeah, yes, I get it.
Exactly.
Instead of looking
exactly.
at, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Praise the Lord for what he's already done. And you can't even tell what he's
right.
already done.
Right.
We don't live, right. we live under the confines of time. But the Spirit of God does not. He already knows the end from the beginning.
Right.
So praise God for what he's already done, for his faithfulness
yes.
to you.
Right, right. We pray, we stand, and we praise him. You know, we have to just stand
That's
firm
it.
And strong.
All right, let's close in prayer. Anybody want to close us in prayer tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you for this time together. I ask you, Lord, to touch everybody that is on this call. I ask you to strengthen them, gird them up. I ask you, Lord, to fill them with your spirit. I ask you, Lord, to make them sensitive to your spirit and also make them sensitive to know how to shut out the voice of the enemy who is constantly trying to confuse truth, trying to intimidate, trying to discourage. I ask you, Lord, to block him. I ask you, Lord, to help each one on this call to recognize when he's trying to slip in his thoughts into our mind, that every unclean thought, every thought that's coming from him, we ask you, Lord, that it be cast it down in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to strengthen each one again on this call. I ask you to take us through the rest of this week. I ask you, Lord, to help our minds weed through the confusion that's coming out of our government right now. I ask you, Lord, for those who are getting their employment checks cut off soon by the manipulation going on in high places, Lord. I ask you, Lord, will you please help them? I ask you for all those who are going to be facing homelessness and have families, and even if you're by yourself, it's horrible to have always had a place to lay your head and suddenly no place to lay your head, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you to intervene in this mess. I'm asking you for special grace on this nation, Lord. I know what you've said, Lord. I know that you've said that what has to be will be because you've already spoken it and that your word doesn't come back void. But I'm asking you, Lord, for grace and mercy to be extended to those that are fallen under the judgment that is hitting this nation, Lord Jesus. Please, Lord. None of us are innocent. None of us are without blemish, Lord. All of us have contributed one way or another to the destruction even of this planet. But I'm asking you for grace, for mercy, and for forgiveness. And I'm asking you for that for this nation as it's unraveling before our eyes, Lord. I'm asking you for the leadership that you would clear up the minds. They seem to be all in such a tangled mess. I'm asking you, Lord, that for whomever you appoint, that you touch their mind. You give them the wisdom that it needs, that they need to help make things better. I ask you, Lord, to bind that spirit of hatred that is just swooping through this nation, looking for vulnerable hearts to use to carry out their wickedness. I ask you to protect our hearts against becoming the same thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, God. God bless everybody. Thank you.
See you guys another Sunday.
I love
you. Take care, Lisa.
Oh. Hey, everybody still on the call, please be prepared to take communion on Sunday.
On Sunday, okay.
Okay.
Thanks for the reminder.
All right.
Yes. Okay.
Was it better having you at 6 than 7?
It was better for me. I don't
know.
How about any? I'm good. Sure. Thank you, you guys, for doing that. I needed it. All right. God bless. Love everybody. Bye.
Bye, Stacy.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, John.